You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Monthly highlights from your arable levy organisation.
In May, AHTB issued a guide to highlight the opportunities of introducing livestock within arable systems. And I'm joined by the co-authors of the guide today, Liz Jennifer and Teresa Meadows, to find out why the guide was commissioned and what its readers might learn, and also to talk about how you might form those effective partnerships that's needed to get livestock on the farm. Right, Teresa, let's start with you. Why did AHTB commission the guide? I mean, crops and livestock have been farmed and reared for thousands of years in the UK. Why is 2018 the right time to issue such a guide now?
So we'd picked up a lot of feeling between both livestock and arable farmers of the need to start reintegrating livestock, particularly in some areas of the UK, for example, East Anglia and across the East. There's been an increasing interest in soils and soil health, improving soil structures, and livestock is one way of doing that, and a need for more diverse rotations with the black grass pressures that we're all under at the moment, perhaps thinking about other opportunities that are available working with livestock farmers in an arable system might be a way forward. So this was a way of bringing together expertise that we've got into one place to share the opportunities, mainly for arable farmers, but with the support of livestock farmers in there as well.
What's incredible about the guide is it really showcases how many opportunities there are. There are numerous ways that people can get involved with the local livestock farmers. Can you just give us a brief overview of some of those main opportunities out there?
Yeah, so we've split the guide down into the different opportunities, the main ones that there are available. So there are sections in there on grass lays, on cover crops, on forage crops, on putting maize onto the farm, working with local pig producers to look at outdoor pig production, and then manures and how you can use some of the manures in muck for straw deals as well.
So let's take some of those opportunities in a bit more detail. Liz, she comes from a livestock background. She works for AHTB Beef and Lamb, so some of the livestock questions I think will be directing her way today. As Teresa mentioned, lays there, they're a useful addition, potentially to an arable rotation, particularly, I believe, to manage weed problems such as black grass and building soil fertility. But what are the key things that someone should think about before they even attempt to establish a grass lay on their farm?
So the key element of grass or grass lay establishment is trying to understand how many years you want it down for. So by understanding how many years it's going to be in that rotation allows you to determine the types of grasses and clovers that you're going to sow within that mixture. And also, is it going to be used for grazing or silage? Again, will help you determine what grass varieties, clover varieties are the most appropriate for that purpose really on the farm. So it's really important to know what the end point is before we start.
Okay. And I mentioned weed control there and black grass, and I know a lot of people would pay close attention when you mentioned about black grass controls and opportunities. So, Teresa, specifically, how can a lay help contribute some of those black grass control measures?
So taking land out of production and in some ways and putting it into a grass lay is one of the more extreme measures of black grass management, but potentially for some fields where there's strong black grass pressure, that might be the best way to do it. Research has shown that a year lay might be sufficient, but more often if you can put it down for 2 or 3 years, you get the benefit of the black grass decline in there at about 70% each year. The more important thing is to manage the seed in the field in terms of black grass, so making sure that seed heads don't appear on the black grass. It might need mowing or topping during the time, or have a sufficient livestock density in there. Black grass isn't particularly palatable to sheep, so that's just something to bear in mind as well. And then thinking about how you're going to return that field to production. You want to minimise weed seeds germinating, so if you possibly can, something like direct drilling into the grass lay when it's being sprayed off would be the best thing to do. Often people find that the second year after grass is the best year, so whether you can direct drill something like a bean crop into that grass lay first and then bring it back into winter wheat in the second year after, that might work well.
That's good. Now, many arable farmers have been thinking about cover crops quite a lot recently. They've either turned to or been thinking about them. And one of the challenges with cover crops is calculating the costs and benefits associated with them. It can be a bit of a headache. But they can also be used for short-term animal grazing. What kind of pros and cons are there for cover crops for animal grazing?
So, So in terms of cover crops, there's a multitude of mixtures that are now available. So do you mean everything that can be bought in a packet to the ones that farmers are producing themselves, really, with what is on their farm? So the bit to remember about beef or ruminant grazing is they can adapt to most things, they just need an introduction phase. So their rumen changes probably in the last, in over 2 to 3 weeks. So you need to sort of ensure that you introduce them gradually onto that cover crop. Also, if you are planning to graze it with livestock, it's quite important to just understand what mixtures or what species are it present to ensure that it is, they're as palatable as possible for livestock. And also just have a think about soil type and certainly wetness or how wet that soil gets during that grazing period, because obviously there's risk of soil damage for future for your future arable crops. And obviously there's a potential welfare concern for those animals. In terms of grazing on cover crops for animals, we need to ensure there's water available, and also in terms of fencing that is secure. And also they need access to fibre, so that could be the provision of hay or straw, potentially silage bales, and also water needs to be provided to them. So in my head, cover crops is sort of a relatively short term, sort of trying to benefit soil health. We also have options in terms of forage crops. So these are specialist, they've been bred specially for livestock grazing. This includes things like forage rape, rape kale hybrid, stubble turnips. So they can also be incorporated into arable rotations, drilled late summer, early autumn, grow for between 80-100 days, and then they're grazed with livestock later in the season. Obviously they've been bred specifically for that purpose, but the same rules apply. So introduce them slowly, access to fibre, access to water, and secure infrastructure is really important. Again, the selection of species for forage crop production depends on how long or that growing season can be, and also the yield that you need to get off them, and also the type of stock that's growing them. So for example, bulbs are better for older sheep. You don't really want sheep that are pushing teeth out to be grazing bulbs. And then again, cattle can be quite well suited to a variety of different crops.
It's the guide's not about just sheep and cattle either. There are opportunities beyond that, and there's an entire section dedicated to pig production. I understand there's a growing demand out there for outdoor reared pigs. So this collection's for Teresa. So what opportunities are there out there for growers?
So I think this is all about making the most of those local opportunities. There are certain areas where outdoor pig production is common, and potentially places in the rotation where having pigs as part of it would fit in, particularly, for example, after a root or a vegetable crop. I think it's really important that the environmental considerations are considered when you're thinking about having pigs on the farm. The soil type's an important thing to think about, and often if there's water or availability of a yard and electricity, that's a good place to have pigs within the rotation. Can be good for new entrants coming in, and a good diversification as well in terms of the business. So yeah, local connections with your landowners is a good one there.
Well, working with a livestock enterprise will require a new approach, especially when it comes to managing health and disease risks. So it's important that thorough planning takes place before stock are introduced into any system. What tips, Liz, do you have for people thinking about bringing animals onto the farm for the first time, or indeed reintroducing them after some time away?
So certainly the objective of this guide is not to try and encourage arable farmers to go and be livestock farmers. It is about trying to encourage partnerships with local farmers that both Teresa and Jason have talked about. So it's trying to look at opportunities local, and also sort of understand the range of opportunities. So we could have a grazing license, or anything from farm business tenancy agreements or joint ventures. There's a whole range of agreements that can be established between arable and livestock farmers for this sort of arrangement. So it is trying to make decide what is the best thing for you, your field and your farm, and how it works with local farmers in terms of partnership. But as I said before, what is really important is to try and think in terms of that field, in terms of infrastructure. So fencing, generally the person whose livestock it is will be responsible for fencing. Need to think about water provision. Again, that can be done through a temporary measure if necessary, especially some of the arable fields that haven't needed to have livestock in them for many generations don't tend to have water supplies to them readily. But I think it's the more discussions you have with people who wish to engage or work with you on putting livestock in arable rotations, you sort of, there are sort of problems you have to encounter and solve. There's also really important things to think about in terms of movement licenses and move, and sort of thinking about regulations and legislation. It is very important not to do anything that jeopardises either party's basic payment scheme payments.
Of course, there's the muck opportunity too, and straw supply has been pretty tight this year, and the guide describes muck for straw deals, and this can bring benefits to both parties. And Teresa, can you tell us a little bit more about this opportunity?
Yes, absolutely. So the guide talks you through the value of manures and how to put the value on that. There's some prices in there to work out the values of the NP and K that you can get back if you're thinking about exporting it off the farm. So it's up to kind of over about £142 a hectare for cattle FYM when it's going off the farm. But most people would do a muck for straw deal. With the current fertiliser prices where they are at the moment, it's worth taking that into account in terms of your nutrient management, and the guide shows you ways to do that alongside our nutrient management guide. It's really important when looking at muck for straw deals when you're considering nitrate vulnerable zone regulations and other kind of environmental guidelines and considerations in terms of the storage and management. And not only that, other areas such as black grass and kind of grass weed control between the two sites there as well. So lots of opportunities. Again, it's working with your local people between the partnership that is.
Liz, Teresa, thanks for joining me today. Weeks ago, Teresa visited West Essex farmer Ian Metzen to talk about his experiences with livestock in his arable rotation.
Right, morning Ian. I wonder if you could just give me a bit of an introduction to your farm business and where you are here.
I'm Ian Metzen, farming at Berwick Hall Farm in partnership with my parents in Essex. It's a predominantly an arable farm, combinable crops, which we've introduced sheep into the rotation in 2013. We also run a contracting business with our neighbouring farmer and do whole farm contracting in the local area.
And could you just explain the system that you've got here and why that works given where you are in East Anglia?
The base of the system and making it stack up financially compared to having a different break crop on the farm. We have a 2-year grass lay. All the sheep lamb on these grass lays on the home farm. They stock quite heavy at lambing at roughly around 17 ewes per hectare, and then they'll stay on those lays. We'll move post lambing, we'll shut it up, rotationally graze those lays, and if we hit a dry spell, as we have hit a pretty severe one at the moment, I rent in locally both some sort of environmental stewardship permanent pasture and also some aftermaths. There's very easy to pick those up because there's very little livestock in the area, and then that's my buffer. When we hit a dry spell, grass growth slows up, we'll move some of the ewes and lambs onto those areas, and if it's some with plenty of grass, then we'll just make hay for those bits, either for our own use or to sell to a third party.
And what kind of rotation do you have on your farm?
It's first wheat, oilseed rape, first wheat, and then either spring barley followed by spring beans, or a 2-year grass lay is where we're at the moment, yeah.
And what kind of soil type are you here?
Predominantly chalky boulder clay with a bit of lighter. About 20% of the farm is sort of lighter, more hungry ground as well.
So why did you introduce the sheep on the farm in 2013?
There's a number of reasons, really. I've always liked livestock and have been working with livestock in my previous job. I was sort of back on the home farm and looking for new enterprise to take up my time and generate some money, basically. And yeah, sheep seem to be ticking the boxes, and also the hope of putting a grassland in the rotation would have some benefits to the rest of the cropping in terms of grass weed control, building fertility, things like that.
Great, and how many sheep do you have? What kind of, you just explained about the breed and the kind of lambing system that you operate.
Yeah, so this year, 2018, we've lambed 300, which we're building up to be 400 next year. They are Exlana sheep, which is a composite breed, which has been developed by a group of farmers down in the southwest. They call themselves Sheep Improved Genetics, and they've been bred to be a low input, you know, easy lambing, good feet, good maternal wool shedding breed, which I've been extremely pleased with my decision to go with them, really. They're all performance recorded, and they're working on various, you know, they're working really hard on traits such as worm resistance. Now they've basically got the, you know, the wool shedding and the maternal bits completely sorted, they can start focusing on things like worm resistance and conformation of lambs and things like that. So yeah, so they're low input breed, and they're lambing outdoors on the grass lays, lambing in April. They're very easy lambing. Out of the 300 this year, I'd lambed 130, I think, before I had to assist one. And we had some pretty challenging weather at end of March, beginning of April this year, and they cope with it extremely well. The lambs are extremely vigorous, and just as soon as they hit the floor are getting up and trying to feed, which is essential when it's freezing cold and chucking it down the rain.
Definitely. And how did you initially set up so that you could have sheep? What kind of infrastructure did you put in place, or how do you manage the infrastructure on the farm?
Initially, yeah, we put in a grass lay, which was quite close to the yard, just the way it worked out with the field we chose to use. So we hooked up the water to the yard there. So we had mains water available in the field. And it was initially, I was fencing with four strands of electric fencing, which worked okay for a while. And then, you know, they do start getting out eventually. So I've moved over now to using Clipex fencing, which is steel posts and permanent stop netting, which once we pull up the lay, the plan is to then pull that up and move it to the new field. We'll be doing that for the first time this autumn, so hopefully that'll go smoothly.
And what do you do in terms of water and troughs and things?
Yeah, I've got some very basic plastic water troughs and just move them around. We're trying to paddock graze or rotationally graze the sheep for a lot of the year, so it's handy now just to use overground pipes, which you can drag and move, and some lightweight plastic troughs that you just drag and move to the new paddock and hook them up. It's all, yeah, it's fairly straightforward, really. I mean, water pipe is quite expensive, and it could be difficult if you've got to go under a road or something like that where you might not have mains available. But it's definitely, if there is an option to use mains, it's a lot easier than, and it's better for the sheep, I think, than messing around with water in a bowser. Keeps it fresher.
So what kind of benefits and challenges have you faced with having the sheep as part of the rotation?
It's been, although I had worked with livestock in my previous job and I'd always had a few small flock of sheep, like when I was at school, it's still been quite a steep learning curve. I'd look very carefully at what system I wanted to use and what I would need to be getting to make it sort of economically viable. Yeah, it's worked pretty well in terms of what I've stuck to, but I've still definitely got a lot of room for improvement in terms of, you know, learning to manage grass for grazing is a new skill, and, you know, health planning and things like that. But it's all, you know, there's loads of help and advice out there, and there's quite a lot of people doing it now, so that does help a lot. You know, I've got a really good vet who I rely on a lot in terms of flock health planning, and can always ring them up and ask any questions, or get a lot of support from them. Just learning all the new skills, and there's a bit of a challenge in terms of fitting it in with the arable work. Well, that usually works out okay. Like this year, lambing was quite challenging. It did take up more time in terms of just because of the poor weather and us having to feed because we didn't have any grass and things like that. But also, we weren't able to get on with any. We didn't really start our drilling till late April, spring drilling. So I wasn't, you know, I was able to spend more time on the sheep. And by the time we could get on with drilling, obviously the weather had an improvement. So it usually fits in okay, but it's obviously, it is something you have to do every day of the year.
And you mentioned the grass and learning from the grass. How, given we're in East Anglia and black grass, if everybody has been a challenge this year, how have you found managing black grass in the with the grass lays so far?
Yeah, it's quite early days because I've only, going forward we'll have a 2-year loaner rotation, but initially, just because we were building up numbers, we put a bit down, which ended up being down for 5 years, which has gone back into the arable rotation this autumn, and we actually struggled with blackgrass. It was probably the worst bit of blackgrass we had on this farm, which is probably not what people want to hear. There's stuff to learn there. I can see in hindsight that we could have done it better. It was definitely drilled too early. We'd done some drainage in the field just before we killed off the lay, so we ended up doing some fairly heavy cultivations on there and mixing it all up. But to be honest, we weren't expecting to see blackgrass pressure after 5 years. So luckily it was at roguable level, so we never have had to go and pull it all out.
And did you manage the blackgrass when it was in the grass lay?
So the first year it was down, some headed in a patch where there'd been some blackgrass previously, which I mowed off, and then didn't see any blackgrass in the lay after that. And it was a good lay, ryegrass, white clover lay. So yeah, we were surprised to be seeing it after 5 years. But yeah, so certainly some lessons learned this year. I think ideally you either want to plough up the lay and bury what grass seeds are there, or to be direct drilling it and leaving what might still be in the soil profile as undisturbed as possible. It was the first bit of drilling we did, and it, you know, then came very dry for 5-6 weeks after we drilled it. So the pre-ems really didn't work very well. But it's still disappointing. But I do think we can improve, and it's all a learning curve, isn't it?
So do you look after the sheep and the arable, or do you work in partnership with other people for the business system?
On the sheep side, I do everything. Ideally, I'd like to find a sort of contract shepherd who might come and help on bigger days and that. Now we've got the numbers there, but there's no livestock in the area really, so it's not many people to choose from on that front. And then quite lucky with the arable, because we run, you know, my parents are still involved with the business, and we're farming a partnership with their neighbour, so it's not like I'm solely doing all the work on that front. Yeah, you definitely have to make allowances that you have got a... There's less work to do with sheep through the summer, like through harvest when you're really busy, but they still need, you know, monitoring, and, you know, they're going to need a bit of moving, and inevitably going to get the odd problem, so you do have to factor that in. Yeah, I think it would be difficult if you were running with a sort of very lean workforce through harvest. You've got to make allowances that the sheep will still need some attention.
And can you quantify the benefits for your arable enterprise or for the business as a whole with having the sheep involved?
Yeah, it's still fairly early days, and we'll know more, you know, probably 2 more years down the line when we've got some yield results following grass lays, got the hang of managing the crops after the lays better. One thing we have looked at is soil organic matter, which we don't have any historical data on that for the farm, unfortunately. It's the first time we've had it tested, but it was tested 12 months ago. The range across the arable bits of the farm was sort of 3.7 to 4.9%, and some of those fields have had some very heavy green waste compost applications and things like that on some of those higher percentages in recent years. But the field that at the time was grass lay that had been down for getting on for 5 years was 7.2%. So that is, you know, it's getting on for 3% organic matter higher than the average for the farm, which is massive, really. So it would be very interesting to monitor that going forward. But there's certainly a lot of fertility there, and you can see in the wheat in the spring was extremely forward and tall and green.
And do you think you'll manage that going forwards in terms of the arable system after the grass lays? Possibly look at a lower input system, or making the most of countryside stewardship or different things?
Yeah, so in terms of the following crops, I definitely like to try some split field trials and look at, you know, reducing fertiliser inputs following the lay, obviously dependent on season and things like that, but it's definitely something we're going to look at. Doing mid-tier countryside stewardship application at the moment, which will put most of that grass lay area into the legume and herb rich sward option, which is very similar to what we're doing now for lays anyway. It's sort of only small management changes, some slight additions to the seed mix, and a £300 a hectare payment, which will cover that very nicely, I think, and make it stack up even better than it does at the moment.
And do you see the sheep as a diversification part of the business, or as an integral part of the business?
It's still quite a small part of the business at the moment, and the plan is to really carry on expanding relatively slowly until we're at the capacity of what we want for this farm, and see where we're at, really. But yeah, I think it is an integral part of the business, because you've got the actual income generated from the sheep, but you've also got the impact on the rest of the rotation. And I think we're all looking at our soils and realising that, for example, this farm has had no livestock on since the 1930s. It's been in continuous arable cropping, and it's us and everybody else are struggling more and more with all the problems we've got. Black grass, and yeah, that black grass isn't the only problem. I think black grass is a kind of indicator of that things aren't quite right, really.
So I wondered if you'd got one recommendation for an arable farmer who might be looking to include livestock in whatever sense that might be, livestock, sheep, or putting grass lays in to manage black grass, or the muck for straw deal, whether you've got a recommendation of what they should do.
Yeah, well, I think if someone's thinking about it and thinking about what benefits they want, then the best bit of advice would be to look at it really carefully and try and do it. And there's all sorts of ways you can, like you said, where you just listed off quite a few of the different options. It could be something as simple as straw for muck, or you could, if you don't want to do the work yourself, or have the extra kind of enterprise to manage, if that doesn't fit with your business, then try and find someone else who can run it as part of their business, who is a specialist in livestock, and do it on like a share farming or contract farming type agreement. I think the right system on the right farm could work quite well if you can find someone to partner up with.
Thank you very much for your time.
Certainly a lot to take in, and when AHDB put the guide together, it highlighted the wide range of publications already available from our livestock divisions, and the decision was made to set up a dedicated webpage to provide links to the guide and the many other resources. And on there as well, you can find contact details for our knowledge exchange managers. So if you're looking for opportunities and to have conversation with livestock producers, maybe give one of them a call first to see if they can help you out. So to start planning your approach to livestock, why not head to cereals.ahdb.org.uk/livestock.